Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is Know Thyself. And before we continue further, I have to tell you that we have something nice for you. We have a gift for you, and if you stay with us, I'll discuss that topic a bit later. Today's theme is the ancient psychology of Delphic Oracle. Man, know thyself, and thou shalt know the universe. And once again, we're going to explore the self and the many layers of it, and I guess it could be endless. Should we recap a little bit from our discussion last time?
All right. We talked last time about the basic meaning behind the term psychology, which is literally the word or note of the soul, which touches on the idea that the soul gives off a vibration, makes its own sound in a sense, and this field of psychology, the science of psychology, is the understanding of that note that is the soul's own tone, and it seeks to sound through every human being. The field of esoteric psychology, as opposed to the more traditional field of psychology, understands that the human being is a dual being, in the sense that every human being has an outer appearance that he presents to the world, which is the personality, but he also has a soul, an inner or higher self. And in most people, those two selves are not completely reconciled, and in some cases not at all in touch with each other. In the case of very advanced spiritual beings, they're completely in tune, so that what you are on the level of the soul expresses completely and fully through your outer appearance. But that's quite rare. And the whole task of psychologists is to help human beings who are involved in their struggle to unify all the various aspects of their nature to understand what they are heading toward, what aspect of being they need to incorporate their identity with. We talked last time about the fact that a lot of people identify with aspects of their lives that aren't the real self. They think of themselves in terms of their job, or their social status, or their appearance, or the small group they belong to, race or religion or nation, or they think of themselves as their possessions. And none of that really defines the self. The real true self is hidden and inner, and can only be found through a real steadfast, determined search to know oneself inwardly.
Yes, all of that that you just mentioned represents what is often referred to as the not-self. Everything that is not the self is has to do with the physical body, the physical brain, the emotional nature, and even the lower mind, and all that information that comes in through the five senses, the sense of touch, the sense of hearing, sense of taste and smell and sight. And all of that we tend to identify as being ourself, but it's really just information, and it's the way the self as a being, as a separate being, finds its way in the world, in the physical world.
The soul is essentially, as we've said many times before, consciousness. And on the level of the soul, we are one with all our fellow human beings. Most people live in a very small zone of consciousness. As we said last time, their awareness or the parameters of their sense of identity of themselves don't extend very far. And this is why people tend to think of themselves as independent, distinct, unique, different from everybody else, separate from everybody else. But in fact, the soul is one with all souls. There is no my soul and thy soul on the level of the soul. It is rather we are one. And psychology, I think, is groping its way toward that recognition, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think that's one thing that psychology, if it's going to advance really to the next stage, has to recognize that there is this intangible spiritual self that lies within every human being that is something quite apart from all that we consider to be the personality life.
You might think of the individual entity as made up of various threads. There's the thread of the past that every soul brings over when he reincarnates, if you believe that life extends beyond just the present life of experience. We bring that thread of awareness from the past. There's the thread of living and awareness and achievement that we build in this particular lifetime, and it's a creative thread. We are creating our lives each day as we go along. So just living, just drawing the next breath, getting up and getting out every day is a creative act of will. And then there is the thread of the future, which we are trying to find by treading what we call the path. That is a thread that is leading us forward. And for most of us, it's only dimly sensed, but we use instinct and intuition to chart our course. And so there are these various lines of consciousness that extend from the past and that pull us into the future. We're much more than just our present experience and reality.
Absolutely, and there is a purpose behind all of this, too. I mean, it's moving ahead, but it's moving in a particular direction, and cognizant of the soul is the very key here to maintaining, finding that direction and maintaining it on course.
For those people who just tuned in, you are listening to Inner Sight, and we have a gift for you today. Our gift is related to our topic today. Our topic is Know Thyself, and the gift is a paper. And the paper is The Self and the Seven Rays. So when you give us a call on our toll-free number, just ask for The Self and the Seven Rays, and we'll send that out to you. The toll-free number is 1-866-695-8247. Once again, that's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York Lucis. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. 1-866-NY-LUCIS. You can, when you order that gift, our hope is that you'll be stimulated to read the books of Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the person who originated Lucis Trust. She founded Lucis Trust Organization, and all of the dialogue that you hear on this show emanates from the works of Alice Bailey, from one of her 24 volumes of books. And additionally, I might say that all the work of the Lucis Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. We're not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals. So please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. Donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. 1-800-875. And once again, that toll-free number, if you'd like to order the gift that we have for you, the gift called The Self and the Seven Rays, is 1-866-695-8247. You were saying that that what we are is apparent even at a very young age. How does this relate to a spiritual approach to psychology?
Well, we were talking about that last time, that, even modern psychology, I think, verifies that our basic character and temperament are established by the time we're three, I think. Esoteric psychology would say that we are a work in progress that has been developing for lifetimes. And every child that comes into the world isn't just a tabula rasa. He's a product of past experience and achievement and suffering and joy. And all of that is residing latent in the infant and comes awake with the earliest experiences of life. So that what we are is already in process of development. And I wonder sometimes if parents understand that children are not born to be molded and formed into some ideal that the parent has in mind. They're already on their track, becoming who they are. And I would think that it would be the parents and other adults' responsibility to help the child become more of what he already is, but just better. And what I'm getting at is something that's given to us in the books of Alice Bailey, the psychology of the seven rays, which we've talked about before, that there are seven expressions of divinity that are known as the seven rays, the ray of will, of love, of active intelligence, of harmony, of knowledge, of devotion, and of order. These are seven attributes of divine being, and every human being is conditioned by these rays in greater or lesser proportions. And what's fascinating is that the rays have a higher expression and a lower, but when we can understand what rays are working through ourselves, we can see what we are becoming.
This will be the, as it's hoped, as it's believed, this will be the new science of psychology, a study of these rays. And it's, as I think we mentioned before, it's a psychology of the well. One can use the seven rays and study the qualities and characteristics of the seven rays to better understand who and what you are in this life. It's not for the abnormal or the insane or for the unbalanced person. It's for the ordinary, everyday person who goes about his or her life, but wants to understand a little more deeply about why he or she has these reactions and characteristics.
Yeah, what we are, essentially, is what we need to be. But we can refine and fine-tune it. In other words, if we have a basic tendency to be obsessed with details, that's, in a sense, to my understanding, what we have to be. But we can take that concern with details and transmute it into something fine and good and useful, and not just a neurotic obsession with minutiae. If we are the kind of person that has a very strong will and a hot temper, essentially that's who we have to be, but we have to learn to direct that will toward real achievement and accomplishment rather than using it to simply dominate others. Every attribute of the seven rays is energy, and the Ageless Wisdom says that energy is impersonal, and it simply responds according to the equipment that receives it. But the ray energies are not necessarily bad or good. The energy of will can be used for negative purposes, or it can be used for very positive purposes. And the same with all of these energies. So that rather than saying to a child who tends to take charge and line everybody up and get them to follow his orders that he shouldn't be that way, rather, we should help that child learn what real leadership is and how to guide and assist others and form patterns and help people carry them out. Some people are natural administrators. Others are natural peacemakers.
And usually when these strong characteristics appear, even in childhood, early childhood, that means probably that that particular soul has spent many lifetimes along that particular array influence along, let's say, in the case of leadership, a child that's really wants to take charge and organize things and be the leader of his little play group, then maybe he has spent many lifetimes under that influence and exercising that quality. And so it's built up little by little over a lifetime after lifetime until it becomes very strong and characteristic. So that little child may grow up to be a real citizen or a politician or somebody, a statesman who is active in government.
Yeah.
And that comes from long experience, not just in one life, but many lifetimes. So it's a thing that builds up. It doesn't show up this way with everybody, but quite often these characteristics. And it's the same thing with prodigies, you know, musicians that have spent many lifetimes playing a particular instrument like a piano or a violin, particularly, they show up very early in these characteristics.
The paper that we have mentioned that people can request is a kind of a summary of the seven rays as given in the books of Alice Bailey, and gives both the higher and the lower expression of these rays and certain qualities or characteristics that can help all of us to identify these rays as they express through people. So it's a good introduction to the whole field if people want that paper.
Yeah, they're called the virtues or the vices of the rays, and also the virtues to be acquired if you don't have them. Those are the ones to be acquired.
Things so on the to-do list.
So it's kind of a guidelines for your life, for living. So think
of it that
way.
Become more patient.
Right.
Is a psychological problem, is it always a sign of mental illness?
Well, that's an interesting thought, isn't it? Because it seems that modern psychology tends to take problems and approach them as if something has gone awry in the life, as if something's gone off track. If you have problems, the very declaration of the United States is the pursuit of happiness. We all believe we should be pursuing happiness, and yet I think the original wording was the pursuit of property, which is much more American. But the pursuit of happiness is the ideal that seems to be held up, and if you're not happy, something must be wrong. But in fact, the ageless wisdom's view of psychology is that problems, impasses, crises can be extremely productive, because that's an indication that the consciousness of the individual has come up against a barrier, and consciousness is by its very nature expansive. And if we think of the image of a little baby chicken pecking its way through its shell in order to be born into the world, that's what happens with the experience of crises and problems. We are butting our head against a shell that has to be broken. It's good. It may not be fun. We wouldn't want it to happen all of the time.
Crises are opportunities.
Oh, yes, I've heard that.
You've heard that before.
Yes, I have.
I don't believe it, but anyway.
Sounds good.
But I agree that these signs of apparent illness may be really a soul that is trying to break out of that shell or the limitations of that life.
Even in traditional medicine of the physical body, pain is seen as a means of alerting the patient that he has a problem. And mental and emotional pain is a means of getting our attention that we have something we need to work on. It doesn't mean failure, but it means we might be ready for a new step, for something different.
So could something like depression, could it be a blessing in some strange way?
It can be, because it can indicate that what has worked in the past no longer serves.
Mm.
And so it's time for a change. Depression can be the indication that there's a change that has to be made in the life. And often the key with these psychological problems is to extend the consciousness outward toward others. We can't go into denial when we have problems and pretend that they're not real. But I would think that the means of healing, if we are basically psychologically sound, is to direct our attention as much as possible to the needs of others. Love is the great healer. Love makes us well. The more we can love,
mm-hmm.
the more we get out of our own little ring past knot.
Yes, and I think that's what you said, get out of our own ring past knot, get out of our own, the limitations of ourselves, because we tend to box ourselves in and with all the baggage that we carry around, and it's here it gets back to the self again. It's if you can take the time to realize what that self is and what it is not, then you have somewhere to go, something to aim for, something to use, because that self is in this particular life to work through onto a new refined state. And that's often why there is this lot of discontent that arises.
And coming back to this realization that all souls are one on the plane of the soul, there is no my soul and thy soul, that's why in turning one's attention to others and in learning to love and serve others, we find our own healing. Because in integrating with others, incorporating their needs, their consciousness with ours, and learning to build better relationships with them, comes psychological healing. The power of the soul can take over, because the soul on its own level and left to its own devices, so to speak, would seek union with everyone else. But the personality of our modern world is so bent on affirming the barriers of our separated self, of defining how we are distinct and unique and how special and how irreplaceable we are. Well, yes, but it becomes a kind of an illness, because it locks us into a separation from others that can be deadly. And I think a lot of depression that people suffer comes from having so affirmed their independence as mm-hmm. beings that they have truly isolated themselves. And in this modern age, with our developed minds and our materialism, we've become masters at isolating ourselves. Just look at our society. We all live by ourselves, travel in our cars alone, and try to work out our careers and our destinies for our own best interests. And it's causing pain mm-hmm. because it's going against the law of the soul.
And that's the basic law that we should be trying to follow, and trying to find that soul, because that is who we are, and that will, if we can identify with that energy, that will guide us through this life and do what we're supposed to be doing.
And if you would like to order that gift that I spoke about at length earlier, you certainly can give us a call and order the gift. Just give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. L-U-C-I-S is LUCIS. And you've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.